Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Plus Model Radio, the number one podcast for plus size women. I'm your host, Shanice Lewis. Today is Monday, January 4th, 2010. Happy New Year to everyone. Plus Model Radio went on a brief hiatus for the holidays, but we're back and better than ever and have lots of exciting guests lined up for 2010. So make sure you keep it locked right here. And if you haven't already, make sure you check out the latest edition of Plus Model Magazine with America's Next Top Model winner, Whitney Thompson, on the cover. Plus Model Magazine definitely started the year off with a bang, with lots of hot editorials and articles, as always. But today, it's all about the brand new webisode series entitled Kindred. Kindred was written, produced, and directed by Sister Pack Productions, which stands for Sisters Pursuing Artistic Clarity. Sister Pack is an entertainment production company working in film, television, new and interactive media. Their mission is to create original works of art that represent a variety of real perspectives and strive to pursue artistic clarity. Leading the charge are Sister Pack's three creative directors and co-founders, Maureen Aladdin, Ella Turin, and Jessica Hartley. Each has been in the business of creativity for over 20 years. Now, as a collective, Sister Pack is taking their talents and energies to new levels, ready to take the entertainment industry by storm. Their latest project, Kindred, provides a no-holds-barred look at issues that all women face. Kindred reveals how three everyday women tackle love, life, and work while dealing with daunting, life-changing issues such as sexual harassment, infidelity, drug abuse, deadly diseases, racism, and homosexuality. Into the world of Carmela Scott, Colette Robbins, and Angelina Chambers, three 20-something African-American women who are first cousins as they navigate family, work, and love against the gritty skyline of New York City. Plus Model Magazine is a proud sponsor of the Kindred series, and it is my pleasure to welcome today's guests on the show, who are not only the creative directors and co-founders of the Sister Pack Productions, but are also the leading ladies of Kindred. So coming up later on the show will be Jessica Hartley and Ella Turin, but up first is Maureen Aladdin. Maureen is an actress, writer, and producer. Projects that she's worked on has been on CNN.com and the I Report Film Festival for her 2008 presidential election commercial. She's currently producing a youth show, a youth sports show, Inside the Orange Bowl YFA on Fox Sun Sports. Maureen has a background in theater and has also appeared in NYC TV's There's So New York. She has a BA in political science from Stony Brook University and an MA in computer science from the New York Institute of Technology. She brings the production, management, and organizational skills to the table for Sister Pack and for Kindred. Let's welcome Maureen to the show.
Hi, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. So,
thank you for a beautiful introduction.
Oh, well, thank you for being on the show. I watched it, and it's a really good show, and it's well produced, and everything is so great. So I can't wait to get into it and talk more about it.
Thank you so much. We're very excited about it. We're really excited to launch it.
Now, on your bio, it says you're an actor, writer, and producer, but you have degrees in political science and computer science. So how did this happen that you got into the entertainment field?
Well, I've always been a very creative person. So although I majored in political science at Stony Brook and received an MS at NYIT, I was always writing, always involved in music. I used to sing way back in the day. So I've always been a very creative person. I took theater classes and acting classes, and it was always something that I wanted to do full time. So although I majored in political science and computer science, it only added to my creativity.
So when did you realize that you have creative talents that you wanted to explore further?
Well, for a really long time. I mean, it dates back to high school for me. I was always writing or creating some type of story, some type of song. So it's always been something that I wanted to do full time.
Now, how did Sister Pack come about? Now, am I saying it right, Sister Pack?
That's correct. It is Sister Pack.
I wasn't sure if it was like Pac or...
No, it is Pack. We came together in 2004. Ella and Jessica were actually at a theater school, the Harlem Theater School, together. Ella and I actually attended college together. And
now, are
I...
any of you related?
No, we're not related.
Okay.
We're not related, but we have been extremely close. We've been in the business of acting for a very long time, and I came into theater school after them, and we decided when we were going on auditions, it's pretty hard. It's very tough out there, and when we were getting callbacks and not actually getting roles, we decided that we wanted to create roles for ourselves. We wanted to create an opportunity, a platform to showcase our talent without having someone place a stamp on us and say, okay, we think you're talented, we think you're ready, here's this role. So we decided to just put our creative juices together, write our own work, and cast ourselves.
Now, was it hard getting started? Because I know a lot of people want to do the same thing, but then they can never get it to the point where you are today.
Well, we've always been very driven, and we have a lot of great chemistry together. When we are in our writing sessions, it's just a lot of creativity brewing. So we decided to do something. We were very driven about it. We were ambitious about it, and we put our heads together and just went after it. We said, this is what we want, and this is what we're going to go after, and this is the result of it.
Now, you bring the production management and organizational skills to the table for the company. So what exactly does that entail?
Well, production is pretty much bringing in. Now, we all do this as well, but as a producer, it's about bringing all of the elements together. It's about finding the right crew. It's about getting a director. It's about getting the equipment. It's about taking care of casting. We've all had a role in this, but when you're a producer, it takes a lot to make all of those elements come together. I mean, getting a cast together and making sure that everyone can actually shoot on the schedule is something that really takes a lot of time because everyone's schedule has to be coordinated. So just getting all of the elements together is something that's really important as a producer. It's what allows you to see the end result.
Now, for those listening that are not familiar with the term webisode, tell us exactly what that is.
So webisode, everyone is familiar with episodes from TV.
Right.
So because this has been launched online, this has become a new phenomenon over the maybe past 2 or 3 years where people have introduced webisodes to the internet. So it's basically a form of television but for the internet. So it's a shorter form. You may not watch something that's as long as an hour or a half an hour. It may be as long as 10 minutes long, anywhere from 2 minutes to 10 minutes long. That's a webisode. So it's a much shorter version of an episode.
Okay. Without the commercials.
Without the commercials. You can have commercials depending on how popular your series is. And then, of course, you have people who are endorsing and you have commercials in between. So it just depends on the popularity of your series. We are just getting started, but we have a lot of people who are actually interested in the series. We've been getting a lot of great feedback. It's been an amazing journey.
Now, what genre would Kindred fall under? Is it a comedy? Is it a drama?
We like to call it a dramedy. It's drama and comedy.
So it's a little of everything.
It's a lot of drama, but there is some comedy as well.
And now, in the webisode, the character you play is Angelina Chambers. Tell us about your character.
Angelina Chambers is a marketing director for a pharmaceutical company, one of the largest in New York City, called SciTech. And she's also the youngest of the Kindred cousins. She is driven. She's ambitious. She is a diva at large. And everything that she does to perfection. But she also has to struggle with pleasing herself instead of pleasing everyone else. In particular, she has to please her mother, and she's going to sort of hit rock bottom when she gets to a point where she realizes, okay, I have to start pleasing myself. I have to be happy with myself. But that's later on in the series, and I can't give you all of the secrets.
So is everything already filmed from beginning to end, and you just releasing it every so often?
Well, we've actually filmed 3 webisodes. So the first 3 webisodes give you a taste of the 3 Kindred cousins and their mothers as well. Again, the storyline is placed against the gritty skyline of New York City. Ella and I are originally from New York, and Jessica has lived here for over 10 years, and we definitely wanted to incorporate a place that was familiar to us, which is New York. And we just managed to weave together a very sexy story about 3 first cousins who happen to represent many of the everyday women we know and the issues that they undergo with love, work, and life. And so the characters that you see, Angelina Chambers, Colette Robbins, and Carmela Scott, which are all played by myself, Jessica, and Ella, they are sort of undergoing the finding yourself stage of life.
Mm-hmm.
And the drama is just, it's something that's made for TV, so it's extra spicy. We had to add in
and
some extra.
And it's language. I will say it's language for...
Yes, there's a little bit of that. Of course, you have to add some of extra drama and not keep it so plain so that people will be interested. This is something that was originally written for TV, and we actually had our pilot sent over to a top exec over in L.A. who absolutely loved the writing, but it didn't fit their network at the time. And this is what led us to say, listen, we're just going to put this out there ourselves, and we decided to just shoot it ourselves.
Now, how close are you to the character you play in this series?
Good question. Well, I'm very driven. I'm very ambitious. And my sister past partners like to call me a diva, but and sometimes I will claim it, but not all the time. So I've got a little bit of diva in me, yes, every once in a while.
Well, was the character based on you in any way?
You know, in a way, yes, and in other ways, no. I mean, that's where you have the question of life imitating art or art imitating life. And in some respects, you always pull some things from your own experience, but then you pull it from things that you've undergone in life and things that you've also seen. So it could be me, it could be someone that I know, it could be a fictional character, but there are small elements of me in there.
Now, besides the webisode, Kindred, do you have anything else coming up that we can be on the lookout for since you're involved in so many things?
We do have a bunch of amazing projects on the table. I can't disclose those projects at this time, but we have created so many pilots, everything from comedy to drama to reality shows. We have some really great reality shows. I will tell you about one, which is a cooking show for kids.
Mm-hmm.
It's something that we're really excited about. And there's another one that I'd love to share, but I can't share that at this time. But we do have a lot of great projects that we will be introducing in 2010.
Okay, so this is going to be a big year for your production company.
It is. We're definitely excited. Definitely, definitely excited. We've been leading up to this point for quite some time, and to see it accepted by our audience is just, you know, something overwhelming in a way.
Now, do you ever cast for actors to be a part of the show?
Do I ever cast an actress?
Do you ever look for a cast to be a part of Kindred or any other project?
Yes, I mean, we have actually, one of the mothers that is in Kindred was in one of our short films. So we definitely have worked with people that we've worked with in the past in Kindred, and it's just been an amazing run because we know the work, we have a good chemistry there, great vibe. So it's always fun to work with people that you've worked with before, and they can also see our own development and how we've come from something that we've done in the past to what we're doing now.
What I'm saying, like for somebody listening that's an actor, is there any way to submit?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You can send us your information to SistaPack Casting, so that's SistaPack Casting, @gmail.com. Or you can go directly to our site, sistapack.com, and send us an email from there.
And you're based in the New York area, so you would always probably specifically be looking for people in that area, right?
Well, right now we're based in the New York area, but we hope to be bi-coastal soon.
Okay.
But we are based in New York, so if you send your headshots and your resume to sistapackcasting@gmail.com or, again, to sistapack.com, we will definitely keep an eye out for it. And anything else that we're doing, we will look at the headshots and the resumes, and if anyone fits the part, we'll get in contact with them.
Cool. So tell us the official website again for the project.
So for the series, it's Kindred, K-I-N-D-R-E-D, series.com, and you can find us on all the social networking sites. We have a Ning site, we have our Facebook fan page, we have Twitter, and we have MySpace as well, and you can find all of our social networking sites on kindredseries.com.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I love the show and can't wait to see what happens next.
Thank you, Shanice. Keep watching. Episode 2 is up. And we launched on November 21st, so we have a really great behind-the-scenes look at our launch premiere event where over 200 guests came out, and we just had a really great time. We had a performance by Music Choice and VH1 artist Rob Murat. It was just such a great, great night, and
yeah,
we're really happy
really
about
nice.
It.
It looked really nice. I wish I was out there so I could attend, but...
Well, because if anyone didn't get a chance to see it, they could definitely look at the video and hopefully enjoy it from there. And we just have a lot more great things to come.
Well, I look forward to it. And now we're going to go on to the other halves of the production company.
Okay. Thank you so much, Shanice.
Thank you.
Happy New Year.
You too. Bye-bye. Now, up next is Jessica Hartley. She's an actress, writer, director, and marketing consultant. She likes to consider herself a jack of all trades, and she's currently an account director at the global marketing and technology firm in NYC. As a marketing consultant for small businesses and artists of color, she started her own marketing consulting firm, VIME, and is geared towards helping artists and entrepreneurs of color market their products and services. She has a BA from Purdue University and an MBA with a specialization in media management from Metropolitan College of New York. She's currently working on her second novel, along with her first screenplay and teleplay, and her contributions to Sister Pack and Kindred are her interactive and marketing expertise, with a strong understanding of how to target the various audience for the project. Let's welcome Jessica to the show.
Hello, good evening.
Hi, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having us, Shanice. It's just been a pleasure to work with you guys as a media sponsor for the show and just partnering with us and Sister Pack. So thank you. I'm very happy to be here.
Yes, now you are the marketing guru behind this project. So tell us about your company. I said VIME. Tell us what does that stand for and what do you do?
That's the extra long name. I unfortunately got so excited when I was coming up with the name for my company that I didn't take my own advice that I'd probably get to a small business that I would be consulting with and saying, you know, keep it short and simple. So VIME actually is an acronym, which is short for Viscosity, Media, and Marketing Entertainment. And it's all about viscosity, of course, means sort of resistance to flow. A lot of people don't remember the word viscosity, but if they remember viscous and being in like sixth or seventh grade and, you know, having to do the density columns where you put the different liquids in a bottle and some rise to the top.
Oh, you went way back with that one.
I know, I took it way back. Right? But for me, that word always stuck to me because – for me, I'm all about helping small businesses and artists of color really understand that you can't just, you know, you get a lot of people out here that are trying to put a CD together and, you know, they'll hand you a CD and say, listen to my CD, but they've, you know, written on the cover and it looks very sloppily done. And so for me, it's the same thing with the business. I mean, a lot of people who have wonderful business ideas and have poured a lot of time and money into the products that they're and services that they're attempting to offer, but they aren't putting enough time and energy into the marketing part of what they're offering. So, you know, they'll have a handmade business card or something that doesn't look very professional. They won't have a website. And in 2010, you can't not have a website.
Yeah.
There's too many very simple, easy template programs. Get your younger cousin or your sister or your brother or a friend
right.
to put you something together. So my sort of mission for my sort of side company, if you will, and then the skills that I help to bring to Sister Pack are really about utilizing low-cost, effective ways of marketing your products and services. And for me, of course, viscous means resistance to flow, so I'm helping people to resist trying to be normal and to try to be different and make themselves stand out from a marketing perspective.
Now, what stood out to me about the description for your company is you said marketing consulting for artists of color.
Mm-hmm.
So what types of things do you feel artists of color are lacking from other companies?
Oh, wow. We could talk. How much time do we have? Well, you know, and when I use the word artist because I come in contact with a lot of people, whether they're spoken word artists or they're singers or they're rappers or they're actors or painters or filmmakers. We are all artists in some sort of way if we're in the business of creating something for others to enjoy and maybe hopefully buy and make us a little bit of money.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest mistake, the same sort of thing that I just mentioned about a small business sort of, you know, the talent is there, but without the sort of proper packaging, and it's not going out, and if you're a singer or a rapper, you know, going out and buying some Louis Vuitton shoes or trying to have, like, the latest fashion or trend, sometimes it's about making the package complete so that
mm-hmm.
when I meet you, I see the package, I hear the package, meaning what you're saying, the types of words that you're using, how you're describing yourself. A lot of people don't even have, no matter what kind of artist, they can't even explain who they are and what they do. So if I say, oh, you're a singer, what's your name and what's your genre of music? Well, I'm kind of, and I don't know, and I feel like, well, if you can't explain it to me, then how am I supposed to explain it to the rest of the world? So
right. You're supposed to be able to promote yourself the best.
You have to be able to promote yourself the best, absolutely. So those are the type of things I like to work with artists on, again, no matter what type of artist you are. So it's everything from sort of the outlook and how you look and how you sort of embody who you are, helping to sort of craft and mold your art form. A lot of people are very talented, but they haven't really sort of found that way to communicate the talent within to the audience to the audience outside of them,
mm-hmm.
And then also the marketing materials that go along with that. So, you know, it's very easy to go down to Staples. Everybody can get access to printers or Office Max and, you know, go buy CD covers and go buy CD labels and
mm-hmm.
do something a little more professional that, you know, we're not writing We're not using a Sharpie on a CD cover anymore.
Right.
Get a website together. Well, Facebook is nice, but Facebook is only one tool, MySpace is nice, but again, MySpace is only one tool. There are a lot of free programs out there where if you can use Microsoft Word or PowerPoint, you can go in and build yourself a website in less than a few hours, and it could look nice. It might not be the most flashiest, you know, it's not Puff Daddy's website or Jay-Z's website or Beyonce's website, but it's still a website that is professional, and same thing for an actor, so that when I come online, because, you know, it's interesting that when I was listening to you guys talk with Maureen and where can I send my headshot and where can I send your resume, you give it a few more years, people are going to say, don't email me a headshot or a resume. I don't want an attachment. Send me the link to your website.
Right.
Because there I should be able to see multiple pictures of you.
Right.
I should
your whole press kit.
It should be a whole sort of presentation of who you are. I should be able to see a video reel. I might get a beautiful picture from you, but I have no idea if you can really act.
Right. And that can be applied, too, to models because, you know, a lot of plus-size models listen to this show.
Absolutely.
But,
absolutely. I mean, the models, you know, no matter what size you are, but particularly because there's so much scrutiny on plus-size models, having that website, having that professional comp card that's made, and that a lot of people think that, oh, God, I don't have enough money. Like I said, the website is easy. The website programs are out there. You can go do something for free, and if you can't do it, I'm sure there's somebody who loves you enough, is your homie or homegirl enough, that will help you to put it together. Always having that package helps to sell, because the first thing I see about you is the first thing and last thing that I might ever remember about you. And you want to be memorable, but you want to be memorable in a good way.
And I will say, you know, you get a one shot to make a first impression. And when I got the Kindred press kit, I was very impressed. And I was like, they look like they got it going on. This is something we need to team with. So, you know, all of that makes a good impression.
Absolutely, absolutely. And to be honest, I was the one that sort of shepherded and put together the press kit, of course, with lots of input from Maureen and Ella. But that was a labor of love because I knew that the majority of people that we will be reaching out to be partners or sponsors for the project would not have heard who Sister Pack was. Most often not would not have known who Jessica Hartley was or Maureen Aladdin or Ella Seren. They won't have heard of Kindred. They'll say webisode, either what is that or am I even interested in being a part of that? So if the first thing that you ever hear from us is an email with either an attachment or a link to an attachment to view a presentation or a press kit from us, it has to blow you away. And, you know, we don't have money to hire some big marketing firm like what I work for a regular basis to go and create that for us. So I have to take all of the tools that I have and that I've amassed over the years to say, okay, well, if I'm going to make a PowerPoint presentation, I'm going to make this the most kick-butt PowerPoint presentation anybody's ever seen.
Right,
and
right.
It's the labor of love, but a lot of time and attention. A lot of people will put together a beautiful presentation, but they won't spell check.
Exactly.
So, you know, so within the first 3 to 4 pages, you're looking at a really great, really well thought out presentation. There are multiple typos. It's kind of like, okay, well, if this is the attention to detail that you put, or lack of, I should say, you put into this presentation, what does that tell me about the final product?
Right.
One of the things that was important for us was when we sort of started getting this out there, when we started talking to sponsors and you guys, we didn't even have a product to show you. We didn't even have the final trailer. We didn't have the final webisode of the first webisode. So we had to step out on faith and creativity and professionalism and hope that would be enough to sort of interest sponsors and partners to say, we like what these girls, or these ladies, should I say, or these women are doing. We like what they're putting together, and we're interested in we see the professionalism in the marketing materials that they're producing. And if they put half as much effort into this PowerPoint presentation as they put into the rest of the product of what they're trying to market, as well as the marketing campaign that is going to support that product, we want to be on board.
Now let's talk about your character on the show.
Oh, my character. Colette Robbins.
Yes. Now tell us about your character.
Okay. So Colette, she actually sort of leads off episode one, and I won't give away too much detail if folks haven't logged on just yet to go see episode one. But Colette Robbins is a chief of staff for a politician who is based out of Brooklyn. So she is, in comparison to Angelina, you know, who's the diva and a little bit of a you-know-what at times, and Karma, who's kind of like the 2000 version of a flower child and very sort of free and open. Colette is just, you know, she's the down-to-earth woman. She's all about the people and going out and being in the community. I mean, she has a law degree, but she decided to go back and come back to New York and actually made the point of going to live and work in Brooklyn and work for a politician in Brooklyn, and she's working for a black politician, so it's very important for her to sort of, you know, help her people and just be in the community and be a part of the community. So she's all about community service and helping people with legal issues and really just sort of taking all of the education and learning and experiences that she's been blessed to have and passing on those blessings to others.
Now, how close is this character to the real you?
I think it's close. It's definitely not 100%. At least, you know, I think about sort of where Colette is now. I think Maureen mentioned that they're all going through this sort of finding themselves period. And you know, I'm not going to sit on the phone and say, oh, I found myself. I know who I am. I know who I'm going to be. I think we all go through a sort of metamorphosis where we, you know, discover new things about ourselves and learn. And then we're sort of in a comfortable space for a while, and then something else happens, whether good or bad or indifferent, that sort of changes us, and we sort of change again. So I'm in a good, comfortable place, I think, right now, and Colette is just sort of, you know, she's been so used to having everything be very controlled the way she wanted. She went to the, you know, she came from a good background, had money that she could go to the school that she wanted, even if she could get scholarships. So she got that bachelor's and she got that JD, so she is, you know, writing her own path and writing her own destiny, and she's all about being in control. And the difference between her and I is where I am in life now. I'm a spiritual person, and so I've learned to let go and let God, because I can write all kinds of plans and lists, and I write many lists every day, but at the end of the day, it's in, for me, it's in God's hands. It's in a higher order's hands in terms of what is actually going to happen in my life. And Colette is definitely not there yet. She still thinks she's controlling everything every step of the way. But you walk into episode one, and her world is sort of turned upside down, and she's had no control over what's going on.
So it's some similarities, but it's not just a double of you at all.
Exactly. And I think you'll find that, you know, I think Maureen again touched on this. We all, there are pieces of us in each of the characters, because I can be a diva, you know what, sometimes too. I'm sure that that Maureen and Ella would probably attest to that. So, and then I think Maureen can definitely say that she, you know, could be in control and wants to make sure that things go the way she wants them to go. So I think we try to line them up not too closely, but they had to be enough essence of us in the characters so that we can make them believable. Because it's one of those things where, you know, if you to just say, oh, yes, yeah, so I'm going to play a crackhead tomorrow. Yeah, not so much. That's just not something that I, you know, I can watch as many Spike Lee movies as I want to watch, or I can watch as many other movies that I want. But at the end of the day, I haven't lived that life. I haven't experienced people who've lived that life. I haven't experienced that type of hardship. God, you know, God has blessed me. I haven't experienced that type of hardship and need and addiction of really any kind. So to really dig deep and play that and also have that conveyed in 10 minutes. I mean, we are working in a form that's very short.
Right.
It's very easy to watch something like The Wire, which is great. You know, you get all this time and all these minutes to communicate all of this grittiness and really sort of get down to the root of who these characters are, and they just have so much time to develop themselves. But in a 10-minute webisode, we only have so much time to sort of say, oh, okay, well, here's this character, here's kind of who they are, here's what they do, and okay, by the way, here's all the crap that they're going through in their life, and make it still be interesting and engaging and, at the end of the day, believable. And that was important for us, was to make this be believable.
Now, since you are the marketing person of the team, are you still looking for sponsors for this series?
We are. And one of the things that I think is really important to note in all of this is, you know, we've shot 3 webisodes, and that was a lot. And someone might say, well, they're only 10 minutes each. But if anybody has, you know, been a part of a short film production or even a full blown production or any production, whether it's a photo shoot, you know, there's a lot of time, work, and effort that has to be put into sort of to preparing that. And we approached this project. We shot everything over a course of probably 8 to 10 weeks, if you will. So that was a lot of time for crew, you know, getting people to commit. I have to just give a shout-out to our crew and our cast because they were absolutely amazing. I know that you guys talked about casting, but, you know, we had some people that we worked with before, but we had a lot of people that were brand new to who we were, and they just people are so hungry to participate in quality projects
mm-hmm.
that they sort of came out, and when we were like, you're casted, they were do or die, Sister Pack, you know, for the they're still calling and saying, when is the next project? You guys are so professional to work with. We enjoyed working with the other cast members and the other crew members.
Mm.
And so, you know, we were only able to amass the funds to shoot 3 webisodes. It's a lot in 30 to 35 minutes, I guess, of content. There's a lot that happens. And what we're in the process of right now is having conversations with other sponsors and partners to raise additional funds to go out and shoot more. I mean, we love it, and we're passionate about the story. And now what's so amazing is that we're now passionate about the fans who are passionate about our story.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to work hard to try to get other sponsors on board.
So if somebody is listening that's interested in being a sponsor, what do they do?
They can either send us an email at sisterpack at gmail.com, sisistapac at gmail.com. It's one thing to write it, it's another to say it. And even going to our website, whether it's sisterpack.com or kindredseries.com, we have all of our email addresses on there. We have a voicemail account, so you can call in there and listen to our voicemail and leave a voicemail for us, and we'll get back to you right away. So we're very excited to bring other partners and sponsors on board to what we consider to be, you know, probably one of the biggest things that we've ever done in our lives.
Yeah, and like I said, it was very entertaining and very well put together, and I'm wishing you all the success in the world.
Thank you so much. And if we continue to meet wonderful, just smart, talented women like yourself who are doing their own thing and making their own way, and one of the important things I would just sort of part with this is one of the important things was for us was when we brought sponsors and partners on board, it wasn't about, okay, what are you going to give us and this is what you get. It was really more about building a coalition and collaborating and say, how can we grow together?
Mm-hmm.
How can we, you know, promote you on our site? How can you promote us on your site? But it, again, it wasn't just about finding anybody who had some money or anybody who had an audience. It had to make sense. It had to be the right fit.
Although money is good, though.
Money is good. There will be never you will never hear complaints to me. And only you need money at the end of the day to produce a lot of things. So if you want to do quality work, I mean, the work that we did, there was a definitely a significant amount of investment, and it wasn't just blood, sweat, and tears. It was also dollars that had to be spent to produce what we had. But the partners like Plus Model Magazine, I mean, it's just been amazing to partner with people who have a like-minded goal and a like-minded mission.
Yes. Well, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
And we definitely look forward to all the exciting projects you have coming up in 2010.
Yes. All right. Well, that sounds well. Thank you so much, Shanice. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Okay, you too.
Now, last but definitely not least is the third partner of the productions company, Ella, and let me make sure I'm saying her last name right. You might have to correct me. Ella Turin is an artist, activist, and educator. Currently, she's a professor and higher education administrator. In 2004, she edited a book of visual art and poetry commemorating the Haitian Revolution. Her work has been published in various anthologies, and she's performed in venues across the country as well as on stage and on screen. As a filmmaker, her work has been an official selection of various national film festivals, including the Hollywood Black Film Festival and the Montreal International Haitian Film Festival, where her short film, Woodshed, was nominated for Best Short Film. She has a BA from Stony Brook University, a MSW from Boston University, and is working on an MA in Media Studies from the New School. Her next short film, Madden's Revenge, will be completed in early 2010, as well as a book of poetry on love and relationships. For Sister Pack and for Kindred, she brings a combination of creative oversight and technical expertise in multimedia and film. Let's welcome Ella to the show.
Hi, Shanice. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year night. Did I just slaughter your last name?
No, you got it right. You got it right.
Okay. I was stumbling every time I got to it.
It's not an easy one.
Well, thank you for being on the show. So,
Thank you for having me.
How did you fall into the entertainment industry and becoming one of the founding members of Sister Pack? Because, like Maureen, you have a background in different things that aren't entertainment related.
Yes. Well, I've been doing art in various forms for a really long time, ever since I was in high school and even before that. And actually, at Stony Brook, I have a BA in psychology, but I minored in theater and visual art.
Mm-hmm.
So really my sort of hardcore dedication to the arts began in college. I was in every show that there was for as long as I was there. And then I went off to get my MSW after that and tried to focus on becoming a social worker and, you know, thinking that the arts would just be a hobby, but I couldn't escape it. While I was in Boston, I kept encountering other artists, and, you know, they really embraced me and taught me a lot. And when I came back to New York after grad school, I decided that I was going to work really hard to you know, work at my craft and do what I love the most. And so that's what I've been doing for the past, you know, more than a decade now. And as Maureen had mentioned, Jessica and I were in acting school at the Harlem Theater Company together, and then Maureen joined us later. And, you know, after we started sort of pounding the pavement and realizing how difficult it was, we decided not to wait for the industry, and that's how it happened. And actually, you know, it kind of all got launched with this photograph that we took. We have this amazing photographer. His name is Larry Lowe. Mm-hmm. And he's done all of our pictures, and we wanted to enter this contest that the WB was having, and he took these pictures of us, and one of them really stood out, and we were like, this looks like it could be something from a TV series, and then from there we were like, well, why not? We might as well write it, and we actually sat down and wrote it, and that's how Kindred was born.
Now, your bio also says you're an activist. What kind of activism do you do?
Well, for a long time, I've been doing work around the prison issue. Prison issues. In the United States, we incarcerate more people than any other country and several other countries combined. So it started with this organization that I was a part of called the Blackout Arts Collective.
Mm-hmm.
And we were a group of artists who wanted to use our art to empower communities of color. and we did a lot of work around the prison issues. And from there, we developed a tour called the Lyrics on Lockdown Tour, where we were traveling to different cities, and we would perform at cafes, or we would perform at detention centers or community centers, and sort of build bridges with other organizations that were doing activist work around the prison industry. And from there, that's how I developed a course around the same thing, where I teach about the prison industry, and then I bring my college students to jail to work with incarcerated youth. So I do a lot of work around that, and then I also do have done a lot of work in the Haitian community because I'm Haitian. And, you know, that cultural piece for me has really been very, very important. And so, you know, between those two areas have been, you know, where my activist work has sort of been focused.
Now, going back to Sister Pack, you bring the creative oversight and technical expertise to the company. Now, what exactly does that mean?
Well, it's interesting because as I've been listening to the other two interviews with Maureen and Jessica, one of the things that, you know, that I really wanted to make sure that folks knew about was about our creative process. And for me, you know, the part of being an artist for me is really making sure that you understand your craft. You know, Jessica mentioned how important it is to market your work properly, and Maureen mentioned how important it is for you to organize your work properly and get your production together. But for me, it's also about how you practice your craft correctly and how you make sure you get the correct training, and you make sure that you practice your writing all the time. And for us, even writing Kindred, you know, was almost a very sacred process where we would get together and throw out ideas and hash them out and tease them out. And we would come to consensus, and then we'd go off and write and come back together. And it was a really, you know, it was a really amazing process to be able to sit with two other people and have a meeting of the mind in that way. And to, you know, to always, like I said, be kind of up on your craft as an actor, as a writer. As a filmmaker, it's one of the reasons why I went back to school to study media studies, because I had been doing sort of guerrilla filmmaking for a really long time, and I wanted, for myself, not because I needed validation from anybody, but for myself to make sure that I was well-versed in the craft that I was going to be working with.
So that's I see how all of you bring something different to the table, and it looks like it's just a perfect flow between the three of you.
Yeah, I mean, we really complement each other in that way. We're not threatened by each other's expertise, and that is the reason why we decided to sort of pool resources together so that we could move forward more quickly. And it's really worked. I mean, in the time that we spent kind of pounding the pavement on our own, we've managed to, like, make double time on that, you know, working together and bringing all of our different sort of expertise and resources to the table. So it's been really, really great.
Now, you play Carmela Scott, a.k.a. Karma, on the series. So tell us about your character.
So Carmela is, she's the eccentric one. She's an artist and a media person, and she sort of does media consulting. And she is the one that likes to see things holistically. She likes to believe the best and tries to you know, she's kind of like the ideal thinker between the three of them. She's the oldest of the cousins. And, you know, she's kind of a free spirit. Sometimes, you know, she's misunderstood in the family because people think she's weird, but she owns it, and, you know, she's not afraid to kind of be who she is, no matter how against the grain that may be sometimes.
Now, your character is described as a full-figured sister that had a hard time opening up and expressing her natural beauty and sexuality. So through the series, does your character have an epiphany and learn to love her body?
I think she does. I think, you know, she, as a full-figured, curvy woman, you know, she is kind of self-conscious about how she looks and how she relates to men. And, you know, there is a little bit of that going on in some of the webisodes where you kind of see her her interacting with one of the other characters, and she kind of doesn't know what to do with herself at times. And as the series goes on, she does come into her own a little bit more and sort of learns to embrace herself as she is. And that was really important for us to portray, because you don't see that many plus-size women on television. So it's like, you know, a couple of layers, because you don't see – these days there aren't that many shows that are focused on women of color. And then on top of that, those women of color are not always curvy women. So
right.
It was important for us and for me as somebody who's in this industry, who knows what it's like to be going to auditions and you know, kind of being typecast and having to deal with that, and then also, you know, living in this body every day and knowing what that's like, for people to see that, you know, we have the same range of emotions as anybody else, and that we deal with a certain number of things that people wouldn't even necessarily understand or know about.
So as an actress, do you find with the lack of positive roles for your type that just drives you even more to create your own projects?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And even now, you know, it's you a lot of the times plus size women are, when I say being typecast and stereotyped, you're kind of like the sidekick or the comedy shtick, or, you know, it's rare that you see a plus size woman who's a leading mm-hmm. role.
Mm-hmm.
And a leading role in like a romantic role or something like that, or a very serious role. And that's, you know, one of my goals as a filmmaker is really to help redefine that and to help the industry and society embrace just the average size woman. So it's not even, you know, and there are ranges of what the average size woman is, and even that's something that society has yet to embrace.
Right, right. Now, besides being an actress, you're also a spoken word artist with a book of poetry coming out. So tell us a little bit about that briefly.
Yes. I've been a spoken word artist, or actually I should restate that, because, you know, one of my favorite poets, Sekou Sundiata, who passed a couple of years ago, one time he was asked if he's a spoken word artist or a poet, and he gave somebody like the death stare, and he's like, I'm a poet. And that really stuck with me, because, you know, a poet, it's about the words, whether they're read or spoken. And I like to think that I have the ability to sort of, you know, be in one or the other very easily. And the work that I'm hoping to come out with is a compilation of poems that I've been writing since college, and a lot of us who are writers, you know, that is our therapy. We, you know, during a relationship, before a relationship, after a relationship, we have a poem about it. We have a poem about the ups, we have a poem about the downs, about every aspect of what it's like to be in love or out of love.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, my publisher, Andre Maurice Press, one day we were talking about what kind of projects I could do, and I realized that I had amassed, like, something close to, like, 100 to 150 of these poems,
mm-hmm.
and they were just kind of, like, randomly sitting around. And, you know, we decided that it would be a good idea to finally put them out as a collection. And again,
what's the subject matter?
Hope...
It's just all over the place of different topics.
Yeah, it's different topics. I mean, there are some moments where I'm not so fond of men, and there are other moments where I'm smitten, and, you know, it's like, you know, roses and blue skies and clouds and everything looks great. So, you know, I think it's important for people to be able to see that there is a range, that, you know, sometimes we feel angry and sometimes, you know, we're very, very happy, and that's what love is. It's the entire spectrum.
Well, that's definitely something we can be looking for. It sounds exciting. And what else do you have coming up? I know you have a short film coming up soon, too.
Yes. So we finished, before we shot Kindred, we finished shooting our last short film, which was called Madden's Revenge, which I wrote. And it's about a young woman who moves in with her boyfriend, who discovers a nasty little secret about him. And that secret is that he is addicted to video games. And it
drives Madden, just like the game, man.
Exactly.
I was wondering.
Well,
the
game especially. So it drives her a little bit batty. I won't reveal what she actually does and what happens, but that's the basis of it. Just completed it, and it's pretty much that we're pretty much finished with the editing stage. You just have to do a few minor tweaks with the sound and add some more music. But I'm hoping that in the next month or so, we can start submitting it to festivals. So, you know, stay tuned for it at a festival near you.
So before you go, tell us all of the official websites and how we can log in and see Kindred and where we should go.
So the official website is kindredseries.com. And you can also check us out at sisterpack.com if you want to find out more about the company or become a sponsor. We also have a fan site. It's kindredseries.ning.com, I believe. And then you can also find us on Twitter and on Facebook and on MySpace.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show. It was a pleasure talking to all of you ladies. I'm so impressed with what are you doing, and it's positive and uplifting, and hopefully when I get out there, I can meet you all in person.
We would love to meet you. Please let us know when you're back in the city, and we'll definitely talk and build some more. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Yes, so keep up the good work, and let me know when the next episode comes out so I can post it everywhere and let everybody know.
Thank you so much, Shanice.
Thank you. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Okay, you too. Bye.
Thanks again to all of our fabulous guests tonight, the ladies of the Kindred series. Tune in next time, and we'll have more Plus industry professionals with stories to not only inspire you, but to keep you connected. If you're interested in advertising on our show, being a guest, or have comments, email us at guests@plusmodelmagazine.com. And if you haven't already, don't forget to join the Plus Model Radio's fan page at facebook.com/plusmodelradio. For more information about this show, visit plusmodelmag.com. I've been your host this evening, Shanice Lewis. Thank you for tuning in and supporting Plus Model Radio. Until next time, keep thriving in your curves and be blessed.